All right, our text this morning is Philippians chapter 4, verses 10, and then 14 through 18. We're going to take verses 11, 12, and 13 separately next week, because they're sort of another parenthetical teaching within what we're covering today. I think it would have been a remarkable thing to hear the Apostle Paul teach, but I think he got sidetracked a lot as in his teaching. At least he does in his letters, you know. So here's our text. Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Here at Calvary, we have some very strong feelings about how the church is to discuss the subject of money. We take it very seriously. The way that we do things isn't the only way to do them, of course, but we feel passionately that the church is not to burden God's people and beg them for money. Now, this happens a lot throughout the world in the church, and that's sad to us. We don't see that as a biblical model from the scriptures. We think of it as fleecing God's sheep, frankly, when you see churches constantly guilting people into giving more and more and more, creating the idea that God and the ministry is dependent on money. That is not the case whatsoever. So in the pulpit, we try hard to talk about money and giving only when it comes up in the text that we're studying. This morning it does, and so we're going to talk about that. Paul gives some very interesting insight into what God thinks of our financial giving to the work of his kingdom. And I say financial giving because one of the things that we tend to do sometimes in our culture at large is that we tend to try to substitute other things for money whenever we talk about giving for God. Sometimes Christians will try to talk about, well, I don't give money, but I tithe my time or my prayers or something else. In the Bible, God clearly commands his people that they are to give money to the work of the gospel. And this text gives some details on how that works out and what it then means for us spiritually. And so the spoiler alert is that God gives that command for our benefit, not because he is dependent on us. And so let's get into it. Verse 10, again, Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." The very first thing we notice is that Paul gets excited about the fact that the church in Philippi was giving financially to the work of the Lord. But he wasn't excited because it meant he was getting a paycheck. In fact, he plainly says that down in verse 17, which we'll see. We also know that when he wasn't imprisoned, Paul worked a job as a tent maker so that he could help support himself and so that he wasn't dependent on the church's support. So it wasn't that he was going to go out and buy some new stuff with their money. That's not why he was excited. He did teach that it was right for the church to support its ministers, but as he traveled around, he wanted to set an example for them and prove to them that he wasn't out to profit from them. No, he was rejoicing because of the benefits they, as believers and as a church, would receive as a result of their giving. Now, depending on your translation, you know, at least for me, the next part of the verse in verse 10 there could seem a little bit confusing as he's talking about them caring or not caring, and some of the different translations kind of make the words seem a little bit confusing, at least in my reading. The church in Philippi certainly did care about Paul's well-being and the work that God had set before him to do. They cared very passionately. But the problem was that they lacked opportunity, he said. Because back then, communicating with someone out of town was no small task. It's something I certainly take for granted in this day and age. The letter and the gift that Paul had received from them, and this letter that he was writing back, had to be sent by hand and by foot through a messenger who had to risk the incredible dangers of a lengthy travel across, you know, dangerous roads. It was months and months and months just to get a letter to someone. And so obviously, as Paul the Apostle travels around the Mediterranean and Asia, it would have been essentially impossible for the local church in Philippi to get a letter and funds to him as he was, you know, being shipwrecked and things like that. But now they had heard, okay, Paul's a prisoner of Rome now. He's stuck there. He was stationary, and the believers in Philippi were then able to get him some support for his needs and his ministry. They're like, okay, you know, it's a drag where our hearts are broken for you that you're a prisoner, but man, you're in one place, so we can send Epaphroditus with some money and some updates about what's going on. That was what was going on. They lacked opportunity until he was there in Rome. Verse 14, drop on down. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. It's clear to us that all around the world there are people in distress. I don't think there is any mistaking that. That's part of the reason why we read these stories every Wednesday morning from the news. You know, the world is in distress. Christians are in distress. God has revealed to us in His Word that when we as believers reach out with love and compassion and truth to the poor and the distressed and the afflicted in this world, He is pleased. It's very plain and very, very clearly presented in the Scripture. Now, specifically regarding this text, Paul is teaching that when we extend care and our financial resources to our fellow Christians who are suffering or persecuted or afflicted, we have done well. And this is no small subject in the Scriptures. After all, that is the phrase which we seek to hear at the end of our lives, isn't it? Well done, good and faithful servant. And Paul, throughout this letter, has detailed this, how we embrace the Christian life to the fullest so that we can hasten that wonderful transformation that the Lord wants to do in us. And in this verse, we're given an actual shortcut. If we're trying to get to that moment where the Lord says, hey, well done, Paul says, man, I have a secret for you. If you want to do well, if you want to move faster in that well done path, give to the work of God and you have done well in that regard. We all want to know the will of God for our lives. That is, you know, obvious. And not all of the steps of our lives are clearly laid out before us. As most Bible teachers point out, if the Lord revealed everything He was going to do in our life, we wouldn't do it. If the Lord had come to Job and said, hey, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to kill your family. I'm going to take everything away from you. I'm going to cover, you know, allow you to be covered in boils and be on an ash heap. I don't think Job would be like, yeah, that's so exciting. Let's go ahead and do this, you know. And so not every step of our lives are clearly laid out before us. But in the Bible, there are a number of things that are plain and simple when it comes to God's will. Not everything is shrouded in mystery. There are some things that God says, this is my will, that you love one another, and that your joy may be full, that you serve in the church, that you lay down your life for your wife and love her as Christ loved the church. Clear things where it's not a question mark for us. And so there are plain and simple things like this. Do you want to do well as a Christian? Well, one of the ways you can do God's will according to the Bible is by giving financially to the work of the kingdom. That's the deal. And, you know, it's a nice thing that the Lord has said out and out, hey, you please me by doing this. It's kind of like a free answer to the test, you know, or on your test, it's like, hey, this is kind of an open book test. This page of the test is open book, you know, and it's an interesting thing. When we give financially to the ministry and to those who are afflicted and distressed, the Bible says we are doing something good and beautiful, something that pleases the Lord. Verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. So again, in case it wasn't clear, Paul is definitely, absolutely talking about Christians giving money to God's work. It's a calling we've all received and an opportunity we all have. If we look at